Simon Glassberg came from the town of Radeutz, and during the Holocaust, he and his family were deported by the Romanian army to Transnistria, where they barely survived. After the war, he settled in Botoşan, where he became an agricultural specialist, married and raised a family. His story is read for us by Henry Goodman in London.
My name is Simon Glassberg, and I was born on the 17th of August 1939 in the town of Radeutz in the county of Suceava. We spoke German at home, and I'm still pretty good at it even now. I belong to the generation that lived and suffered, even if only as a very young child, the horrors of World War II and its aftermath. A time of unbelievable poverty, a lack of education and poor health care. I'll start by introducing my family to you. My father's parents were Moise and Rebecca Glassberg. They lived in the village of Straja, and her grandfather was a timber merchant. My father, Samuel Glassberg, was born in 1900, and he took part in both world wars as a soldier during World War I and as a deportee to Transnistria under the Antonescu regime in World War II. During the First War, he was promoted to corporal but got no further. He was such a gentle man, I never could imagine him aiming a rifle at someone, much less killing them. And my mother, Rasela Likvornik, was born in Marginia in 1898. She may not have had a great education, but she devoured the classics in German. And she would recite to me verses from Heine and Goethe from memory. We were three brothers. Hermann was born in 1928, Jacob in 1934, and me, 1939. My parents weren't extremely religious. Oh, sure, certain customs were observed, from lighting of the candles on Friday evening to going to services on weekends and keeping kosher, that of course. My father would pray at home during the week, but always went to shul on Saturdays. It was his way to break with everyday life, to meet his friends. On Passover, Father would organize the traditional Seder evening at home. It was shorter than what other families would do. We usually recited Manishtana, the four questions that the youngest child is supposed to recite about the holiday, why is this night different from all other nights, and so on. Being the youngest, I didn't understand much of it. This was before our deportation. And even after we came home in 1945, to be honest, I was so uninformed that I'm pretty sure my own grandson would have considered me rather feeble-minded. Actually, I think he would have thought me to be the village idiot, or maybe just the idiot of the neighborhood. I mean, see, because my parents were desperate to keep us fed and my brothers were off with their friends, I was an ignorant child. Which might explain why I was so in love with reading and learning later in life, and got my PhD. Concerning wartime, I believe 99% of the Jewish population of the Radeutz was deported to Transnistria. I was told they spared doctors, specialists and dentists that they needed, but the rest of the population, craftsmen, shopkeepers, petty merchants, anyone who wasn't a necessity, which is the majority of Jewish population, was taken to Transnistria. Let me tell you about our departure. It was in October 1941. My mother wrapped the head of the sewing machine in a blanket. And that would become our ticket for survival. We travelled through Mogilev and were taken to Zhurin in Transnistria. We were six in all, the five of us, three sons and our parents, and there was also a first cousin of my father's. And the six of us received, accommodation, let's say, between inverted commas, in a single room in a semi-basement. And this grim place is where we spent 4.5 years. So their living conditions were, they were a horror. Shortly after we arrived, my father was caught by the Germans and was arrested while walking in the street. He was taken away and we were now on our own. Mother set up a sewing machine and local women brought her things to repair and sew. As payment, we would get a handful of flour or cornmeal, or the women would bring us potatoes. That was the reality of life. When the front was being pushed back in the spring of 1944, the Soviet army advanced and bombed the area as there were still Germans there. I still remember how my mother would run with all three boys into the garden, push us down and try to shield us with her own body as the shells fell all around us. A great many Jews died in Transnistria, and everyone who survived lived in unspeakable poverty. I remember that all of us children dressed entirely in rags. As for our father, he managed to survive a German forced labor camp. He later described to me what he'd witnessed, what he'd gone through. "They may have been educated people," he said, "but they were beasts." As a last thing to say on this horrid chapter of European history and of Romania's participation in it, my heart shrinks when I see that some people in Romania today are trying to rehabilitate Romania's wartime leader, Marcel Antonescu. And with this, I'd like to close the chapter of Transnistria. Well, we returned home in an ox cart that we hired in Jurin, and I remember the muddy road. It was in the spring. And we travelled day and night until we came to our home in Radoj. And the house, it was devastated. There was not a piece of furniture left. My father set up his small shop, and his customers were Romanians, Roma, some Czechs and others. And people were desperately poor and came to father and asked to pay him later. And he never could say no. Mother warned him not to keep selling on credit, but he did, which is why he went bankrupt. He then went to work in a bakery and died in 1959 at the age of 59. He had had such a hard life. So, what did my parents want more than anything else? They wanted their children to study. I went to primary school, high school, and faculty, and I started attending primary school after the war at a rather too early age. I begged my parents to send me. You know, that's because my brothers were always looking at illustrated books with pictures in them, and I was convinced school was where you went to look at pictures. My first year at school was hard. Mostly because I didn't speak proper Romanian. While in deportation, you see, I had heard a jumble of German, Yiddish, Russian, Romanian, and, well, I thought I was making sense. I graduated high school in 1955, so I was 16. And then I studied animal anatomy and physiology, and I could have gone to medical school in less time. But since I loved learning, I also became an economics engineer. My comrades called me Comrade Student. And I settled in Botoslani, where I still live. I worked in agriculture, and we belonged to the generation of collectivization, of giant agricultural cooperatives. The work was incredibly intense. I was often the only engineer in an agricultural facility with thousands of employees. It was like I was in a display case. Everyone analyzes you, watches you, because you are watching them. I met my wife, Marionara, in the town of Corni. She was teaching in a school there, and I was the best and the nicest agronomy engineer in the village. Okay, I was the only one. And I was invited to hold classes about agriculture, about nature. Marionara and I started seeing each other, and she told me about her family. She had no brothers or sisters, and to me, she is like no one else on earth. Her mother was Jewish, her father Romanian Orthodox. Marionara and I were married in 1964, and I was 25. Our son was born in 1967 and our daughter in 1969. Our daughter's a physician, is living in Israel, in Petah Tikva, where she's now a specialist in endocrinology. My daughter gave me two granddaughters, one prettier than the other. I could never decide which. And they speak Hebrew, English, and I'm happy to say Romanian. We use Skype to talk over the internet. And my older brother married a Jewish woman, and they left for Israel as well, and they became university lecturers. So I'm pleased to say my parents' dreams for us came true. As for my life, I can say that I am a fulfilled person, and now, having retired, I still want to be useful to society, so I'm a technical law expert. An expert assessor for real estate and other goods. Now I handle mainly projects for obtaining European Union funding for vehicles, tractors, for farmsteads. Since I spent my entire working life as an agronomist, of course I have a garden that I tend. It hasn't fared well this year as we haven't had enough rain, but this is a place where it is peaceful and quiet. And I talk to my plants. I must say they mind what I say. They don't talk back, and they listen to me, and they never argue. I still take part in the events organized by the Jewish community in Botasani. The community's president, Yosef David, he summons me. He calls me on the phone from time to time. As he has on this occasion. That's the reason I'm talking to you now in this interview. And there are so few of us in the community, each of us helps out. If they need someone for services on Shabbos, I'm there. We need to recite Kaddish, the prayer for the dead. They let me know, and I show up. I'm glad to be there. It's a good feeling. After all, there are only about 60 of us left here. We may be like museum pieces, but we're lively museum pieces.
Historians read for us by Henry Goodman in London.